Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora te iwi, nau mai hoki mai ki kahurangi. Ko Wairika Collins tēnei, e whakapau ho atu ana ki a koutou. We are in a big week, whānau. We're in a massive week for Te Ao Māori, and there's a lot of things happening around the motu, which is charging them batteries of activation, of protests, of mana motu hake, of tino rangatiratanga, and what a great time to be alive. What an amazing event to stand up for and to, you know, hiki te haki, haki in some places, the flag, or iti taitokiro, which is where we're from. It's also called akara. So yeah, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope that you're getting out and being part of the hīkoi movements and the activations. We know that the movements has began on Monday, and it's making its way through the rohe throughout the motu now, and we look forward to its arrival in Pōneke next Tuesday, the 18th of November. Nā reira, today's session will focus on our hīkoi, what it means, what toitū te tiriti means, what te tiriti o waitangi means or should mean for Aotearoa, and we're going to talk about that. So I'm hoping to get our visitor very shortly, my brother Pene Matthews, or Ben Matthews, as he's known in the professional circles, but in the Wairarapa we call him Pene. He's going to be joining me shortly for a bit more kōrero and in-depth dive into toitū te tiriti, te hīkoi, te mana motu hake me te tino rangatiratanga. Nā reira, whakarongo mai ki ngā kōrero nei.
On this world, Ruakinana, to
It's Air We Know My Hoki Mai. This episode is going to be focusing on the Toi Tutetiriti and the Hikoi movement that's coming down the country. We know that it started off on with a meeting on Sunday at Te Kau, and then moved to Rerenga Wairua on Monday. The actual hikoi, the walking part, happened on Monday, and they've been making their way down the Motu. And today, they are arriving in Rāhui Pōkeka, Kirikiriroa, for overnight stay / Rotorua. So I'm joined here by my brother, Taku Taina, Pene, as I said before. He's arrived in the studio. Tēnā koe, Pene.
Tēnā koe. Kia ora tātou.
Whakamohio mai ko wai koe.
He uri ahau no te whare tapu o ngā puhi. Ngāti hine o hine Amaru, Ngāti hine Pukepuke Rau, Ngāi Tawake anō hoki, Ngāi Tawake ki te wāku, whakawhiti atu ki te tāo tōku matua, no Tauranga Moana, ko Tauranga te Moana, ko Maua o te Maunga, ko Ngāti Pūkenga, ko ngā iwi o Ngāti Pūkenga, o Tauranga Moana, ngā iwi.
Tēnā koe, nau mai ki tēnei karere o Kahurangi. Kapai. So, just gonna have some questions and off the cuff. How whakaro, what are your thoughts about the hikoi and the purpose of the hikoi?
I love it. I love it, and I love especially that we're doing this here. We're doing this now. Very timely. Very topical, and the purpose. Yeah, I really like how they've taken the spotlight off of the bill itself and put it more onto Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the partnership between Māori and the Crown, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Tika.
You know, the governments come and go, government legislation, bills come and go, but us as tangata whenua, tangata o tēnei whenua, ngā iwi kua noho ki tēnei whenua mai rāno mō āke tonu atu, we're not going anywhere.
Tika. Been here before and we're not going anywhere, tika tau. And Debbie Ngāre Wapeka kind of said the same thing when she said, you know, we're not going to be making any changes because what is there to change? You know, you can't change something that's enduring. Nā reira, you know, we just have to get back up there and remind te ao, Aotearoa whānui, you know, the place, I guess, of tangata whenua here in Aotearoa. Awesome. So you've been part of many activations. Did you get to the CBN foreshore hikoi?
Carl, I was actually out of the country at the time.
Oh, true.
But, I got back and, yeah, caught up with whānau about, but I saw pictures and I saw footage and, man, FOMO. Yeah, no, but looked just amazing. That action, that was amazing, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I share is that we were born into the activation movement, you know, with the being born just before Kohanga Reo movement. What's your view on lifelong contributions to, you know, activating iwi Māori?
Yeah. I mean, it's in our blood. It's in our whakapapa. It's who we are as people, and you know, you can't remove us from our reo, you can't remove us from our culture, you can't remove us from who we are as tangata whenua. And when there is any attempt to do that, we're going to stand and we're going to fight.
We've been brought up, you know, with that fighting mentality, and I've shared in episodes prior to this about the inequities in the system that have kind of led us down a path of, you know, where we've just felt really unsettled with the way things are, but not really had an idea of why we feel unsettled. Yeah. I think with the education that people are taking in these spaces nowadays, definitely helps us to know the why. And when you know the why, then you can actually go about fixing it there.
Yeah, tika tau. And I really like how Helmut Modlick and his kōrero with David Seymour talked about how Te Tiriti is not actually about races. It's not about ethnicities. It's actually about an agreement between, it's a contract between two people. Te Tiriti o Waitangi is a contract between Ngā Hapū or Ngū Tereni and the Crown.
Mm.
And any changes or interpretations should involve consultation with Ngā Hapū, and trying to rewrite Te Tiriti without their consent undermines the integrity of the agreement.
Yeah, and it's interesting because where do you get off thinking that you can just rewrite history? That's what I don't understand with this kāwanatanga. Yeah, it is a really privileged mentality. You know, when you get that kind of kaupapa. But tell me a little bit more. I know you did a bit of a debrief about Helmut Modlick and his kōrero. You put together some points in regards to that kaupapa, and you were really I suppose empowered by what was shared. I didn't get to watch that, and I was meant to review it. But yeah, keen to hear your whakaro. I think maybe we'll just we'll play a waiata and then we'll come back and we'll share a little bit more about that. Ka pai?
Ka pai.
To get over all this strife, don't let them tell you how to treat your life. But as sunshine brings the day and the darkness starts to fade, won't you stand up, rebel? Won't you show them you know how? Won't you rise up? Won't you rise up? Won't you rise up? Baby, it's a revolution. how to treat your life. But the sunshine brings the day, and the darkness starts to fade. Won't you stand up, rebel? Won't you show them you know how? We'll rise up, oh, stand up, oh, rise up, rebel, show them you know how. Won't you rise up, won't you rise up, won't you rise up, baby, it's a revolution.
I know my hoki mai, tēnā koe pene, me o kōrero. Thank you for being part of our kōrero today. Whina Kupa said, I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept, which is a pretty cool, I guess, whakatauki. Hako I roto te reo Pākehā, he whakatauki anō hoki, whakatauaki anō hoki. And that was as they prepared her, Eva Rickard and Tete Whai Hariwira prepared for the original land march. So it's a really he whakakitinga, I think, a vision, a goal for Aotearoa. You get this, you know, old kuia, the vision of Whina Kupa in her old age with her mokopuna walking the length of the countryside. She's a bit of a legend. But yeah, just coming back to the pātai in our previous segment about helmet, modlik, and that something stood out to you. Do you mind sharing those?
Yeah, so my assessment of that debate was that I actually really enjoyed the debate because overall it was a very mature, it was a very well-facilitated discussion. Helmut, I thought he brought the facts. He brought, the historical perspective from the iwi, from an iwi perspective. I thought that he provided relevant, convincing, real examples, thought-provoking examples that spoke to the heart of the issues at hand. And his key message that he kept going back to was that rangatira never ceded their sovereignty to the crown, which caused them to question the constitutional legitimacy of government and the judiciary and structures and systems set up under them. Whereas on the other hand, you had David Seymour, and I noticed that he would tend to deflect and divert, you know, the same old rhetoric that comes out of our politicians when they're backed up into a corner, sidetrack from the actual core issues of the debate. I intended to make the argument race-based, as we know, and drew on issues that were irrelevant to the debate and actually just beating around the bush, whereas Helmut addressed the issues head-on. A really awesome debate, and if you haven't seen it, I think it's still available in the media. Go through and watch it, yeah.
Mm. And I think it's really poor. It just goes to show that all of the arguments that Seymour is using to kind of, point his finger at Te Wē Māori, like, oh, it's race-based and all the rest of it. He uses those same arguments over and over again, and it's, like, tiring.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, bro, your argument, your argument is not standing up, and you're using what, you know, what you're saying we're doing against us, but you're doing it yourself. So ahua rerekē te whakarora.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we look at the structures and the systems set up, have actually disadvantaged Māori and advantaged settlers, Pākehā European settlers over the years, and generation after generation, the descendants of those original settlers have benefited from the stolen land and the stolen rawa and taonga, whereas Māori are at the bottom of every negative socioeconomic statistic. And, you know, Māori have been very gracious in accepting, I think it's less than 1% of the value of the original taonga and whenua that were taken. But, you know, the lies that have been spun, the scaremongering, just serves to scare people away from Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and scares people away from imagining what that future could look like.
Yep, absolutely. It's definitely boxes. We've been boxed in for a long time. Even I was speaking to Auntie Mate this morning. We had our twin sister's 50th birthday last weekend on the Saturday, and so we had whānau, whānau in town, and she said, I didn't even realise I was colonised. You know, so not only are we waking up and realising the why and how, you know, we've been this way, some of our kuia and our kaumātua are just waking up to that realization too. Their whole lives they haven't really understood the impact of you know, those racist laws and policies that have been embedded in our system, in our country's system. So, you know, how it really is up to our generation to, you know, to make the difference and to, you know, connect up the dots, so the generation after us gets to, you know, live more freely and be Māori and, you know, mana motuhake and all that.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And, you know, I am hopeful about the future. I'm really buoyed by the kotahitanga movement that's happening at the moment, that Ki Ngitu Heitia, you know, help to drive forward, and now Kuini Ngāwai Hono I Te Pō is continuing on that movement, bringing together our iwi. You know, we have different iwi that say, oh, we're not part of Kingitanga, and you have some iwi that say, yeah, we're part of Kingitanga. But, you know, we're stronger when we are together, and being together as one doesn't mean that we have to think as, we don't have to think the same, we don't have to look the same. You know, that's what the colonizer wants us to think is unity is, but it's not. Rangatiratanga and kotahitanga can be us as individual hapu, iwi, whānau, in our own rohe, in our own kāinga, but working together for the common cause of kotahitanga and moving together, you know, and Te Pūnui o Toka, that Ngāi Tahu hosted at Tuahiwi Marae in Ōtautahi, that was all about economic growth, economic development, economic thriving, you know, because it's not until we can thrive and be independent economically that we can truly realise and implement mana motuhake and tino rangatiratanga. And I just want to say about democracy, you know, people will say, well, democracy rules. Well, in actual fact, Māori are not about democracy. We're about rangatiratanga and mana motuhake, because democracy says that the loudest wins, the biggest wins. But no, under Te Tiriti o Waitangi, we are equal partners. Thank you very much. And rangatiratanga and mana motuhake, we hold the Māori, we hold the mana of the whenua, and, you know, we keep going back to that kōrero, that our rangatira, our tupuna never ceded sovereignty in the first place. They envisioned a future where we would work side by side, and that's why Honeheke cut down the flagpole how many times in Kororareka, is because of the encroachment on his whenua, the encroachment on his moana, And he was just protecting his whānau. He was just, you know, he was just a rangatira trying to protect his whānau, his hapū, his iwi, his moana, his whenua. And then he was ridiculed and then painted out to be, you know, what do you call it? What's the word?
Not activist. Yeah, it's like a...
criminal. Yeah. They painted him out to be a criminal. And when you mention the word, the name Honeheke these days, people laugh or people just... But nah, he's a hero of mine and he's a tupuna of mine.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't actually realise, but Honeheke was one of the very few Māori who could read and write in Te Reo Māori and English.
Mm.
So he was no stupid, you know, he wasn't stupid. Mm. He was informed, he knew a lot of stuff. I think probably his fault is that he was young, you know, and so he... I don't know if you, you know, I remember being young and thinking that, you know, that I could change the world. I'm not saying that you can't change the world, but I'm just saying it's not as easy as that optimism that you have as a youth. The other thing people don't realise about Honeheke is he was the first signatory to Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
Yeah.
He wanted the growth and the change and the, you know, all the good things that would come from a partnership were what we thought they were entering into a partnership. And I feel sorry for him because he led his people there and at the end of the day, you know, they did him the dirty.
Yeah,
and they didn't give him what he wanted, and then they painted him out to be a criminal, like you say.
Yeah.
He's gone down as the negative person, you know, in the history of you know, of Aotearoa, when actually, you know, he was a visionary.
He was the William Wallace of Aotearoa.
Mm.
You know, he wasn't gonna sit down and keep quiet.
Yeah,
when there was a stand to be made.
Mm.
He was going to make that stand.
Yeah.
Can I just make another comment
around,
you know, the one thing that I've realised is that the coalition government, and probably Seymour in particular, likes to scaremonger around honouring Te Tiriti o Waitangi in that he claims it would create apartheid. But Te Tiriti settlements do not create apartheid. Any tamariki living in New Zealand can attend a kura or a kohanga reo. Shared agreements over places like the Waikato River, the Maunga Taranaki, still enable all New Zealanders to use the river or to walk on the Maunga. And so it's not helpful when we're having these sorts of divisive scaremongering coming out and saying, oh, you know, it'll create apartheid and separate systems. No, it just means that Māori will have their tiriti given right to have a say on how their maunga or their awa, their ancestor, is cared for.
Mm. And so they should, because that was the agreements. Like you talked about, Māori never ceded sovereignty, and that's Article 1 of Te Tiriti o Waitangi is kāwanatanga. They kind of, what I've read about Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the understanding of our tūpuna back then is that they didn't have a vision of what a government was, of what kāwanatanga was, but they knew what a governor was and they knew the role of a governor. So for them, in their minds, they were like, oh yeah, cool, send a kāwana, a governor, over to Aotearoa to govern your people, because, you know, people, you don't know that the kororarika was known as the hellhole of the Pacific because they were so unruly. There were so many people coming into Aotearoa who didn't, you know, have anybody to look after them. And in those days, iwi and hapū were distinct, separate entities.
Mm.
And so their vision for Aotearoa was somebody come, rule your people, take care of your people, and then we'll take care of ours. And he whakaro paitira,
yeah,
I think.
Okay.
And on that note, I think Te Rapia will go to another waiata, and then following our little waiata break, we'll come back and we'll talk about the events that are being planned around the Wairarapa in response to Te Hikoe mo Te Tiriti.
Put your hands in the sun.
kua hoki mai anō, Māua. You posted some quotes from Tā Bom Gillies, who passed away this week, or had his tangihanga this week. Those were really good and poignant whakaro leading into our hikua this week too. Do you want to share a little bit about those, that whakaro?
Yeah, e mihi ana ki tō tātou rangatira kia Tā Bom Gillies. Te morehu meki o te rua te kaumawaru. Just really want to pay homage and pay respects to Tā Bom Gillies, the final remaining member of the 28th Māori Battalion. It was 99 years of age. That's a huge milestone. Some of the quotes that I posted were just around some of his reflections on Māori Crown relations and the war that he was able to participate in. And probably one of the most poignant or home-hitting quote that he shared was, he said that if I had the choice again, I would not fight in that war. In hindsight, I know now that I am, and I should have been, a conscientious objector. And you know, when I think about that quote, I think about Te Puia Herangi, who was the Princess Te Puia, who was the principal leader, one of the principal leaders of the Waikato Iwi at the time, who was against conscription. And for that reason, and you know, for her leadership, Waikato largely stayed away from the war and did not enter the military and did not go overseas and to fight in those battles. And I'm pretty sure there were repercussions for that against Waikato by the Crown for their choice to not join in that battle. And I also think about, ones like the Tūhoe prophet and the Tūhoe leader, Ruakenana, who was also against conscription. And he said, he told his people not to go to war. He said, let the white man fight the white man's war, as we know from the famous waiata. So you had, famous rangatira. You had rangatira with mana from right across Te Ao Māori, who are saying, no, this is not our war. Let's not go there. And so those are some of the things that they were saying.
That's big A, that he, went and served, and it's one of his, crowning things in his life, but yet, here he is putting his voice to the cause and saying, no. I regret that, and I would not recommend that people continue to do that. And he talks of the other things that our people suffered, after returning from war, that they never really recovered from.
Yeah, just the post-traumatic stress that would have brought upon a person. And then Tā Bom Gillies also talked about the waipiro, the alcohol, that a lot of his mates, would drink every day, and that this was the war still killing our men after they had come home. Another one that he said was that the Crown was happy to treat us as second-class citizens, yet when they needed us, they were happy to use us.
And some of our people even went away and became leaders of segments of the war, and they received badges of honour, and they were honoured, and they were put forward as a really good as leaders. That's what I read at Te Papa when I went through for the ANZAC. Then they came back and they were, like you say, just treated like second class citizens.
Yes, well, just on that, I don't know the full story, but just recently a lot of our Māori veterans, well, their whānau, now that they've passed away, received the medals of their ancestors who fought in the war. So I'm not sure why they weren't given originally, but it, to me it's just pōuri. It's sad that they weren't.
That's apartheid.
Well, yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. I want to go back to your point earlier about, you know, the nature of decision-making in Te Ao Māori not being necessarily democratic, and also, I guess, the fragility, because I think it really comes down to white fragility, this fragile nature that if you guys get what you want, then we don't get what we have, you know, and there is really like enough to go around for everybody. And that's the point. And the reason why Māori are so loud about it is because we haven't had the those opportunities, that equal access, you know, to education, to which of course is, you know, the precursor for success later in life. And I just wrote, when you were talking about that, I just wrote whānau. It's like, you know, in a whānau, we have decision makers. You know, we have our roles and responsibilities. You know, like with the whānau, we know that we all have different skills. And it's really a natural way of working together in a kotahitanga space is utilising each person for the skills that they can bring to the kaupapa. You know, acknowledging those skills by inviting them to contribute in a way that that nicely aligns with what people like and want to do and are good at, rather than trying to be good at everything. Yeah, so I was just having that whakaro as you were talking earlier.
Definitely, I agree, yeah.
Yeah. And I think about our tupuna kawiti, who obviously fought alongside Honeheke. But, you know, right from the beginning, he was like, no, I'm not signing te tiriti o Waitangi. I've seen the way that Pākehā operate, and it's not necessarily they make promises, but they don't keep them. And we know that kawiti was a bit older than Honeheke. Like, he was born around the time that Captain Cook circumnavigated Aotearoa. And therefore, by the time the signing of Te Tiriti had come, he'd seen a lot of underhanded and, you know, kind of things coming from Pākehā, who would make promises and then break them. And so he was like, no, Honeheke, let's not do it, let's not sign it, it's a bad idea. And then when Honeheke signed Te Tiriti o Waitangi and then saw the breaches that happened very quickly after the signing, who did he turn to? He turned to our tupuna Honeheke, who was also Kawiti, and Kawiti was also the diverger, he was the divergent guy. So he would create a diversion while Honeheke would race up the hill and cut down the pole. So, you know, that activation is in our whakapapa, it's in our bloodlines, and it's in all of our bloodlines because all of our tupuna have been hard done by in some way and shape and form. And it's our turn to, you know, the pen has been handed down from generation to generation and now we have it. Mm. What will we do with it? How will we write it? What's next? What happens next?
Yeah, and just before we go on to what's next, you know, I also want to acknowledge all of the pakanga, whenua, on our taha, ngāpuhi, ngāti hine. We have rua peka peka and Te Ruki Kawiti and Honeheke who fought and led that pakanga. And then on our tauranga moana side, we have Puke Hina Hina and Te Ranga, those pakanga. And I think it's quite significant to acknowledge that in the Battle of Puke Hina Hina, we had our kuikuia giving water to the injured soldiers, British soldiers. And, you know, that really showed just how they were led by aroha and led by manaaki.
Yes.
And I think that was Heni Te Kiri Karamu was the lead kuia who led out those efforts.
Yeah, and there's stories about that, like Rua Pekapeka, How they just left their mate, you know, and then our people came through, the Māori came through and they buried them.
Yeah.
Young people, young boys, 17, you know, 16, 17-year-olds, just left, you know. Yeah, kino era āhuatanga. And Ka Whawhai Tonu, you know, that talks about, you know, another similar battle. And I loved Ka Whawhai Tonu because it was from our point of view. You know, you actually, it was the first movie I felt where you actually sided with Māori. Like whenever we have movies, it's always the Pākehā, you know, that's whether the other side be black or, you know, or Puerto Rican or anything like that. It's always the Pākehā that's the main actor. And, you know, growing up, the main actor never died. You always felt sorry for the main actor. You wanted them to win. And so, yeah, that's what I really enjoyed that about Ka Whawhai Tonu. And, you know, we have many, many whawhai still to go ahead of us. It's been 184 years since the signing of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. That's seven generations. We're not going to solve it all in one. And basically, in 1975, that's when the Māori language petition, you know, occurred, and that's when we really started standing up and fighting for what is ours. So technically, it's only been like a generation and a half and a bit. So we've still got a ways to go.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I just want to share a quote by Moana Jackson, where he talks about being brave. And he says, being brave can sound like a difficult thing to do, but I look back in the history of our people, and particularly since 1840, and if there's anything that has marked the survival of our people and the flourishing of our people, it's that we have been brave. And we've led out on hīkoi, we've led out on protest, when there has been something by the government that we've not been happy about, we've stood up for our rights, because our rights are tupuna-driven, tupuna-given, and mokopuna-centric and mokopuna-focused as well. And we are umbilically connected to our whenua. Our whenua is in the whenua. Our toto is on the whenua. Our whakapapa is the whenua. Our whakapapa is our moana, our awa, our maunga. And so how can you divide a mokopuna from their tupuna? You just can't do that.
No, you can't. And so the kaupapa moves on. And I know we do have to, as individuals, look inward to ourselves and kind of like ask ourselves, like, how far will we go? How much will we give? How much can we do? I mean, I'm not saying that we need to like lay down our lives for the kaupapa or anything like that, but there are elements that we can contribute and be doing more thought for. One of the questions that came up recently in our Zoom was, oh, how do we get our people to kind of, you know, contribute and get on the kaupapa? And it's like, they'll come when they come. So for now, some few of us have to hold the lines. We just have to get the kaupapa going. We have to move, you know, get the momentum building and move forward. And so, yeah, we have to figure out what that looks like for each of us. And that's all that matters. The only person that you have to answer to is yourself. And so how much you do and give to this kaupapa is up to you. Ah, man, I'm always, like, surprised how quickly the time goes in these kaupapa, especially when we have interviewees. But, yeah, did you want to – you wanted to add something to that a little?
Yeah, so yes and no, where you said the only person you need to answer to is yourself. I think we are part of a bigger picture. We are part of a bigger puzzle. We answer to our ancestors and we answer to our mokopuna. Our ancestors died for us, for our treaty rights. So we answer to them, and our mokopuna are relying on us to make sure that we do everything that we humanly possibly can to make sure that their future rights are protected. So we're part of a chain. We're just a link in a chain.
I guess I was just meaning when, because some people can be overwhelmed by the enormity of what's, you know, what's in front of them. Every little bit matters. Like, you know, just put a put a straw down, you know, when you put it, everybody bring a piece of straw, you know, or pretty soon you have a bunch, then you have a bale, and then you have, you know, be able to feed all the cows.
Ngā tōrauro, ngā takurauro, kaorai tīwi.
Tika. So just moving our view, our vision over to what we've got planned for Wairarapa coming up over the next couple of days. So tonight you will find at the Thursday night food trucks, we've got a fundraiser event happening there where we've invited some rōpū kapahaka from across Wairarapa to come and to share waiata in a busking way so that we can fundraise he pūtia for some of the costs that are going to come up for our Wairarapa whānau travelling over to the Hīkoi. That's Thursday. On Monday night whānau, this is probably the biggest kaupapa for Wairarapa in Aorohe. There will be a wānanga at Papawai from 4 p.m. There'll be the whakatau pōwhiri. Then there'll be a wānanga about what kotahitanga means for us. What does kotahitanga mean in the context of Wairarapa? We're still trying to figure out whether there's going to be a hīkoi. There was talks about having a hīkoi from Te Oreore to Papawai, that day going through the towns with a kākoi in between the towns and then doing a hīkoi through Carterton, jumping back in our waka, kākoi, and then at Greytown doing a hīkoi, and then heading out to Papawai. So just keep tuned on the Te Pāti Māori Wairarapa page and the Toitū Te Tiriti Wairarapa page for more information about that. And then we have three buses funded by our iwi, Rangitāne me Kahungunu, also travelling over to on Tuesday to the Hīkoi. Now, what we've been told is that there are going to be lots of people. Tame Iti, he predicted or hoped that we would hit the 1 million people mark. That includes our tangata whenua and our tangata tiriti. And so if that's the number that we're expecting, whānau, I would suggest that you jump on the bus. There is a form if you would like to jump on the bus to register your interest. You can do that on both of those Facebook pages that I mentioned, Pāti Māori Wairarapa and Toitū Te Tiriti Wairarapa. But yeah, get in the kaupapa whānau, and then yeah, Tuesday we'll head over to the Hīkoi, join our you know, our Māori with the Māori of all the other iwi that are going to be representing and standing for Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And then the idea is that following the Hīkoi that we will return back to Papawai and whakanoa. So a lot happening, a lot of opportunities for us to get involved. Please get to something. Share something on your Facebook page. Get to something. Tōku te kaupapa. It will take all of us to make sure that this kaupapa gets the exposure that it deserves. Nā reira, mihi kia koe pene. Thank you for coming along and being with us today. Any closing whakaro I mua te whakakapi?
I guess my closing whakaro is a famous quote by our Ngāti Hine Tupuna, our Ngāti Hine Rangatira Tahimi Henare, when he said, kua tawhiti kē tō haere ngā mai, kia kawe haere tonu. Kua nui rawa ngā mahi, kia kawe mahi tonu. So we've come too far to not go further, and we've done too much to not do more. And, you know, for me, the future of race relations in Aotearoa, there is hope, you know. At the end of the day, I believe that humanity, we can do it together, we can make it together if we work together. And we just, you know, get around each other in afi and aroha, i runga i te rangi Māori.
Kua nawhi te aroha mo te katoa. Ka pai. All right, on that note, tuturu owhiti whakamaua kia tina.
Tina.
Haumi e huie.
Ai ki e.
Kia ora whānau.